Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, depending on your time zone that you're joining us from. And welcome to today's webinar, Your Journey to ISO 27001, Part 1, Project Initiation, Securing Management Support, and Gap Analysis. My name's Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer technical support to our speaker. Today, we are welcoming a special guest, Alan Calder of IT Governance Limited, and I'll be introducing Alan to you all momentarily. But just really quick before we get started, I wanted to introduce Perry Johnson Registrars to you all, if you're not familiar with us. Originally founded in 1994 by Perry L. Johnson, PJR has been deeply involved in the international certification and registration industry from the very beginning. PJR and PJR UK offer accredited third-party certification to a range of standards from ISO 9001 to ISO 27001, AS 9100 to IATF 16949, and everything in between. We have a strong focus on customer satisfaction and engagement, offering a variety of training, free downloadable informational resources and white papers, as well as complimentary webinars like the one you're attending right now. If you have any detailed questions about PJR's certification programs or the process of becoming certified, I would encourage you to visit pjr.com. You can give us a call or submit a request for a free quote, and one of our project managers will be happy to get in touch with you. But now I'm going to go ahead and introduce Alan. Alan Calder is the founder and executive chairman of IT Governance Limited. Alan is an internationally acknowledged cybersecurity expert and a leading author on information security and IT governance issues. He's also the founder and executive chairman of IT Governance Limited, as I said, a single source provider of cyber risk and privacy management solutions. Alan co-wrote the definitive compliance guide, IT Governance, and an international guide to data security in ISO 27001, ISO 27002 with Steve Watkins, which is the basis for the UK Open University's postgraduate course on information security. Alan also wrote a number of other popular books on ISO 27001 and the EU's GDPR, including the popular EU General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, and Implementation and Compliance Guide, which provides clear and comprehensive guide to the regulation and sets out the obligations of data processors and controllers. Alan, thank you so much again for joining us today and taking the time to present for us. I'm going to go ahead and give you control of our keyboard and mouse so you can advance the slides and you can take it away whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Amy, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this section of this webinar. So the slides are going to follow through now. You'll pick up the IT governance look and feel. I'm going to be talking about the journey to ISO 27001. This is the first of a series of four linked webinars, which between them will cover each of the major phases in implementing ISO 27001 in your organization. In thinking about ISO 27001, you think about IT governance. We've helped some 1,300 organizations with ISO 27001 over the last 20 years or so. We've had some 30,000 people on our training courses. We teach people how to implement and how to audit ISO 27001 and many other management systems. And inside the broader GRC group, GRC International is the owner of IT governance, we have a number of complementary businesses which enable us to provide a very comprehensive products and service portfolio for organizations tackling ISO 27001. Although originally based in the United Kingdom, we also have offices in New York and in Dublin for the European Union. We work pretty interchangeably across the world. We deal with clients on all six continents. As an organization, the slides are suffering from some latency, as you can see, but our focus is a comprehensive range of everything to do with cybersecurity, privacy, business continuity, and compliance around IT. We've got the widest product and service portfolio in the industry, and up to 20 years of practical hands-on implementation experience with clients of all sizes, from very small to very large, across pretty well every sector that you can think of. And so we are able to bring all of that experience to bear alongside the huge breadth of our product and service portfolio, which runs from books and toolkits in our publishing business through online staff awareness, classroom training, software tools that support and enable organizations to maintain their implementations through consultancy, which includes penetration testing, payment card industry, everything that as an organization you might need to get cybersecure, to get ISO 27001 is somewhere in our portfolio. And I've been doing this for about 20 years. The very first organization that was certified to what is now ISO 27001, I was the chief executive of that organization. And I've been involved in working out how to implement and make implementation of the standard easy ever since then. I've written a bunch of books, and hopefully in this webinar, I'll be able to share with you some of the experience that is in those books. You can buy them obviously from our website and from Amazon and so on, but a bit more around the importance of implementing an ISO 27001 information security management system, the 9 steps that we've identified as being the standard, straightforward, comprehensive approach to implementing the standard. We'll look at the first couple of steps: project management, project initiation, look at the role of a gap analysis, and then some practical steps that what can we do to help get that underway. And then future webinars will pick up risk assessment and work all the way through to certification of the management system, the key element that Perry Johnson bring to an integrated way of thinking about cybersecurity and ISO 27001. So let's look at information security management systems. Why should you be implementing it? If you don't already know it, ISO 27001 is simply an international standard. It's now, was published in 2008. It's got 14 years of growth. BS 7799, which preceded it, was originally published in 1997. So 25 years of development in what's really a blueprint for implementing an information security management system, the best practice for information security management, which is internationally accepted. It focuses on confidentiality, integrity, and availability of information. It's a sector independent, it's technology agnostic, it's designed for organizations of any size, of any sector, using any technology. And because it enables organizations to demonstrate to third parties that they have implemented a management-driven information security or cybersecurity management system, it's growing, take up is growing significantly, running at around about 20% per annum in terms of organizations achieving certification. There are a number of benefits to implementing a management system which complies with the standard. The first is that you can, in fact, achieve multiple legal compliance requirements. So a single management system following the principles set out in ISO 27001 with a certificate of compliance can also be taken to demonstrate compliance with privacy laws, with GLBA, with HIPAA, with GDPR, with other legal requirements around demonstrating that there is a risk-driven approach to managing cybersecurity. Having done that, you can quite easily simplify the whole business of responding to requests for quotation, requests for proposal. You know, those big sections in the annexes would say, can you answer all these questions about information security? Typically, you can say, here's our ISO 27001 certificate, and you no longer need to fill any of that in. You can deal with customers who want to carry out certificate or third-party information security orders by saying, here's my certificate. So you can reduce an awful lot of your operational cost through an ISO 27001 certification. It also enables you increasingly to meet requirements from clients who want evidence of an information security framework in place. We see growing numbers of organizations, particularly public sector organizations, saying we need to see evidence of proper information security. And the fact that it's certified by an independent third-party organization like Perry Johnson means that you're able to go to your customers and say, it's not just us saying we do a good job. We've got a third-party independent accredited organization who've done an audit of what we're doing against an internationally recognized standard, and they say we're doing a good job. That means you can demonstrate to everybody who cares, clients, regulators, your board, that you're committed to cybersecurity, that you're reducing cyber risk. And in today's environment, with cyber attacks making headlines multiple times every single day, that's quite a good thing to be able to do. You're affecting culture, structure, and process. And that can play out in terms of benefits on the cyber insurance front. Cyber insurance getting more and more expensive, more difficult to obtain because of cyber breaches. ISO 27001 can really help with that. And because it does all of those things, protects and enhances your reputation and competitive advantage, it can help you win new business, win new customers, and maintain existing business. ISO 27001 really looks at three pillars. Your organization operates with people, it has processes which set out how you do stuff, and it depends on technology. And ISO 27001 deals across each of those three areas: people, processes, and technology. It's not just a technology security blueprint, although security in your technology stack is an important part of ISO 27001, but it also looks at processes, it also looks at people. And it means that you get a comprehensive framework and a comprehensive implementation of a management approach to cyber security. The nine steps to implementing ISO 27001 start with a project mandate. I'm going to look at the first three areas: project mandate, project initiation, and the information security management system initiation itself in a little bit more detail. In future webinars, we'll look at the management framework, the baseline security criterion risk management. That's going to be the webinar after this one. The webinar after that will look specifically at implementation. There's quite a lot of work in and around implementation. And then finally, we'll look at measuring, monitoring, review, internal audits, and we'll look at certification. You can read in some detail about how to do that in the book, Nine Steps to Success, which was originally published probably about 15 years ago, been through a number of iterations. The current version applies to the current version of ISO 27001. I'll give you quite a lot more practical hands-on, this is how you go about doing it for yourself, guidance on using this nine step to success approach. And just bear in mind, this is honed by us over some 1300 projects. It's not something we came up with last week. We've honed it. We deliver consultancy through our consultancy team around the world. This is a process which really works in terms of how you put together and deliver successfully an ISO 27001 project. And it works because it starts at the beginning of the process. It says, let's start off by thinking about what are you trying to achieve. And what you're trying to achieve, you've got to agree with the board. The board's going to have to fund the exercise. And typically, only 44% of senior executive boards, directors, boards of directors are involved in setting the cybersecurity strategy. ISO 27001 wants to see top management support of the cybersecurity information security strategy. And the board can get from an information security management system better visibility over how well it's managing cybersecurity, what kind of risks it's dealing with, what kind of exposures it has, what it needs to be worrying about. So effective cybersecurity is an ongoing process. You start, it's a journey, it has no end. You go on improving how effectively you deal with the threats that come at you from external cyber criminals, nation states, that come from internal staff making errors who are disaffected. And regular communication between senior management, cybersecurity management, and the board enables the organization to increasingly better manage cybersecurity in a way that doesn't disrupt what the organization is doing. And we find that where boards are involved in determining risk appetite, then the information security professionals inside the organization can deliver an ISMS that enables business success rather than gets in the way of business success. We know, conversely, that executives who fail at cybersecurity often find their careers negatively impacted. Certainly, share prices are impacted. And we read about, we see reports which suggest that organizations which suffer a cyber breach can lose the attention of something like 80% plus of their business in the following quarter. It might come back afterwards, but it can have a hugely negative impact on the business. So look at each of the first three steps. Secure a project mandate. A project mandate, most organizations that deal with sizable projects will be familiar with. And the concept of a project mandate is just getting clear, have we got senior leadership commitments? Do we know what the scope of the management system is going to be? Which organizations or parts of the organization is in scope? What are we going to get the certificate for? Who do we want to satisfy? How do we deal with what is out of scope? How's management going to lead the project? How are they going to make sure project's got the budget it needs, the resources it needs? How are we going to get buy-in from people across the organization? We found over the years that quite often organizations think that you can implement ISO 27001 just through the technology or the security team. You can't. You need buy-in from across the whole organization. And so getting staff awareness of what's going on gets their active contribution, but it also means that as they get more aware, they make fewer mistakes themselves. And where phishing emails are so successful as an attack vector, staff who are on board and know what to do is a key part of your overall defense. So step one, documents project mandate that describes at a high level the information security objectives, how do those tie into your business objectives, roughly what resources are going to be allocated to the project, and the timeline. My timeline might be, got to achieve ISO 27001 certification within 6 months. Why? Because we've got a customer or a regulator who requires it. We need to reduce our risk. We're going to allocate these resources. Top level mandate that sets out clearly what, as an organization, you're tackling. Step after that is to turn that into a detailed project initiation document. And that's thinking about project governance. How does this project report to senior management? How do we deal with blockages? Who owns the project? What are our information security objectives? We know what the objective of the information security management system is. It's to help us comply with, say, a regulatory objective. But in terms of information security, what is our objective? We need to be clear that we want to reduce the level of external breaches by X percent. We want to increase uptime on our systems by Y percent. So in other words, clear, detailed information security objectives. You need a project manager, you need an owner, and you need a project team drawn from across the business. You don't just want the technology people, you want business owners, you want all of the people who are going to benefit from the ISMS involved on the project team. That gives you good buy-in, it gives you good structure, it gives you good awareness of how to make the management system genuinely work. And then a project plan, timeline, clarity about the resources that are going to be needed. And that's not just the time and effort of people in the project team, but it's time and effort of people across all of the organization. Get it clear now, get those resource commitments built in, and document a project risk register. What's going to go wrong in the project? At what point is a new initiative going to come up that could derail the project? How will we deal with that? How will we deal with getting staff to pay attention? There are a number of risks that you can identify to the project. So like any good project, you're going to identify those at the point that you're initiating the project. So project mandate, project initiation documents, then you can start thinking about how do we kick off the information security management system itself. And you're implementing an ISMS. An ISMS is documented. So a logical place to start is thinking about how are we going to create documents? What is our documentation structure going to be? We're going to have policies. We're going to have some procedures. We might have some work instructions or some guidebooks, there's a whole bunch of things. We need to think about what our standard structure to documentation is going to be. And one way of thinking about that is what your process approach is. ISO 27001, like all management standards, looks for a process approach. The idea that you do a thing, it's an input, you put the process, it might be, let's say, an incoming telephone call from a customer, that's an input, goes into a process which turns that incoming telephone call into a requirements gathering series of steps, documents the requirements, documents the client details, and produces at the outset, at the end of that, a sales ready, let us say, set of requirements for a customer service person to talk to. That's a simple process, and management systems start with what are your key processes? Because when you understand the processes, you can begin thinking about the risks that are involved and how you improve them. It's also looking for information security to be a process. And the core of your information security processes is continual improvement. And this is the time when you're going to think about what your continual improvement methodology is. There are lots. ISO 27001 says choose whichever one works for you. Most organizations go with very well-established plan, do, check, act, continual improvement methodology, plan what you're going to do, do it, make sure it's delivering what you expected. If not, make some changes, plan how you're going to roll them out. So it's a kind of continual improvement cycle. Choose your continual improvement methodology, make sure everybody in the project team understands it. Think about how you're going to do record keeping. What's a record going to look like? Records are things like minutes of the project team meeting, but records are also things like the logs of administrative access to your firewall. Records are logs of who attended staff awareness training. So think about how records are going to be operated, where you're going to keep them, because records are the evidence that you've implemented the that particular aspect of the management system. And finally, you think about documentation rollout. We've decided on what our structure looks like. How are we going to educate people? Are we going to put all the documentation together and then roll it out in 6 months' time when we'll discover that we've got a whole bunch of things wrong, or we're going to roll it out on a beta test version, get feedback, finalize it step by step as we go along. You need to think about how you're going to handle that. And there's pros and cons for a number of different approaches, but getting clear how you're going to roll out, how you're going to structure the information security management system is your third key step. And getting those three steps in place is how you make sure that you've got your project set up to operate effectively. You know, we say something well begun is halfway to completion, and that's absolutely the case with an ISO 27001 management system. The next thing to think about is what comes next. So the kind of three steps I've talked about would apply to any management system. It'll work for 9001, for 14001, 50,000. It'll work for every management system because the process is strictly logical. What do you need to do differently for ISO 27001? And the answer is that almost every single organization already has some form of information security management system in place. You might not call it an information security management system, but you already do things like require people to log on to their devices with passwords. You may have a policy around bring your own device. You've got rules around assets. You've got rules around how information is filed. You've got rules around physical environment. You've already got a number of components of an information security management system in place. And the logical way to put a ISO 27001 project together when you're thinking about implementation is, what are we already doing in comparison to what we're supposed to do? And the way to work that out is with a gap analysis. And all a gap analysis does is it takes the main clauses of ISO 27001, which if you look at the standard are clauses 4 through 10, and it looks at all of the controls in Annex A, and we'll talk more about Annex A later because it's a different control set, and it looks at all those 114 controls, and it basically says, which of these are you currently doing? And you do a gap analysis. You can do a gap analysis using a questionnaire. So a document toolkit typically might have a questionnaire gap analysis in it. You can go through it yourself. It asks you questions. You can answer the questions. Or you can get a third party to come and do a gap analysis with you. The benefit of a third party is that you've got someone else's experience who says, no, it doesn't quite mean that. It means this. Or another way of thinking about it is this. And the way you might address that is that. So an in-person gap analysis can give you a much clearer idea of the proposed scope of the ISMS, but of course there's a different cost profile to it. A questionnaire-based analysis is still a perfectly logical place to start. What you're trying to do is arrive at clarity about the size of the piece of work that you need to implement. And this will go back into the business case. Some organizations will do a gap analysis before they put a project mandate together because it helps them create the business case. It helps them go to management and say, actually, we're already doing 40% of what we need to be doing. It'll only cost us roughly this much to finish the job. This is what we'd like you to put together in the way of commitment. So as I said, some organizations will do a gap analysis prior to project mandate. Other organizations will simply get on. They know they've got to do it. And so a gap analysis is a logical step prior to putting together the detailed implementation plan. What a gap analysis is doing is giving you five benefits. The first is it's enabling you to get a real picture of your own information security posture by comparing what you do against the requirements of the standard. It gives you an insight into the extent of the implementation project, so you can much more accurately determine what to include in the scope of your management system. It can help estimate or confirm the resource and budget estimates you made when putting the project together. You can make sure that leadership properly understands the extent to which you're going to be able to manage risks and reduce costs in information security. Enables you to identify exactly what your key actions are going to be as you start moving into the implementation phase. So you have a really solid, robust implementation map and can give you some solidity around the timeline necessary to achieve certification readiness. And that then follows into the certification audit. And as I said, in a later webinar, we'll talk about the steps from completion of implementation review, internal audits, and so on, through to your certification audit. So there are a number of benefits that come from a gap analysis. It's a high-level overview. It's not a 25-day exercise unless you're a huge global organization. For most organizations, it's between 2 and 5 days of gap analysis where we, where a consultant, if you're using a consultant, will do all of the assessment, suggest what your scope should be, identify what resources might be required and timeline to certification. And the second phase is producing a report. So phase one, assessment, second phase is useful report that you can then deploy to tackle ISO 27001. So the gap analysis starts with an ISO 27001 specialist interviewing key managers, understanding currently how you do information security and what documentation you have in place. We'll then follow through, make sure that all of those investigations are collated into a solid report that typically takes a day or 2 days. And that will detail what you need to do with some clear recommendations on progress. And that report therefore looks at your overall state and maturity of information security arrangements, the very specific gaps between what you're doing and the requirements of ISO 27001, options for scope for your information security management system, how that would help you achieve your business and strategic objectives, an outline action plan, and indications of internal management effort required to implement it. And then as a measure, a compliance status report against all of the management system clauses. So it's very easy for you to plot progress against clauses 4 through 10 and the 114 controls, not all of which you need to implement necessarily, but enables you to track as you come towards the end of the project, the extent to which you've successfully closed the gap that you identified at the start of the exercise. So that's the role of an ISO 27001 gap analysis. We as a business can help in lots of ways. Of course, you know, you can simply get hold of an ISMS documentation toolkit, which has got lots of documents in it. It's got a questionnaire in it. You can go on certified ISO 27001 lead implementer and training courses, which you can buy through our website in the US, itgovernanceusa.com, in the UK or in in the EU, and you can then have somebody who is practiced in implementing ISO 27001 walk you through with other people a three-day training course on how to go about implementing. You have lots of opportunity to ask questions, think about how you're going to do it in your own specific environment. Gap analysis, we talked a bit about what a gap analysis can do, getting a consultant who's done it multiple times before using a tested methodology is quite a good way to make sure that you get a solid understanding of where you're at, of how to minimize your costs in tackling ISO 27001. There are many things which people who say, no, I can do this on my own, find that they lose time and effort on going up the wrong tree, not understanding what the requirements are or how best to tackle it. And you can save a lot of that time, money, and frustration by getting an experienced third party to help with it. We also offer something like a fast track, which is for organizations under 20 employees. There's one model. For larger organizations, there's another, which essentially means that you say to us, actually, we know we need ISO 27001 in place. We don't have the resources, let alone the expertise, but we know we need to provide some time and commitment to it, but we'll outsource to you the whole job of getting us ISO 27001 ready, holding our hands through certification, and as we call it, fast track, because it gets you there kind of fast. So there's a range of projects which right up front, as you're thinking about ISO 27001, you can come to IT Governance for all through our website, through direct contact, and you can access those and help you with tackling your ISO 27001 project, stage one in it. So that's all I'm planning to cover this time. Next time round, we'll be looking at management framework, risk assessment. We'll be looking at the idea of what we call baseline security controls. That's the key controls that you're required to have in place to meet legal, regulatory, and contractual obligations. And then from that, what follows in is the risk assessment, which identifies what additional risks there are that you as an organization need to be paying attention to. How do you go about applying appropriate controls to reduce the impact and or likelihood of that risk to a level that you're satisfied with, and how that ties into management's setting of risk appetite, which enables you, the implementer, to go ahead with implementing a risk assessment and control framework that you know is going to enable the organization not only to protect its assets and its business, but to meet its compliance objectives and to thrive by delivering to clients security-enabled services of the sort you deliver without needing to worry about security. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly where I'm going to hand you back to Amy, who will deal with any questions that you may have.
That is correct. Thank you so much, Alan, for all that great information. I know you did include this contact slide with all of the information on how to get a hold of IT Governance. So I will pull this back up on the screen at the very end of the presentation for anyone who wants to maybe take a picture with their smartphone or something so you have all the contact information on hand. But just briefly, if I can get it to stay, there we go. I wanted to mention some of our other upcoming webinars while people type in their questions in the questions panel. Next week, we do have three webinars coming up. It's a pretty packed week for us. We have an eStewards overview webinar on the 15th, an FSSC 22000 food safety management for packaging webinar on the 16th. And then we have a webinar on the IETF CARA and remote auditing topic on the 17th. So all of those should be listed on our website. At pgr.com/webinars. Additionally, the registration link for part two of this webinar series should also be up there shortly. But all right, I am going to go ahead and pull up the Q&A tab here and see what we've got. All right. Oh, first question. Alan, your self-promotion, we're going to have to include this for the next one. Where can people find your nine steps book on ISO 27001? Mm-hmm.
Sure. You can obviously find it on any of the IT Governance. So you can find it on IT Governance USA or itgovernance.co.uk. You can also find it on Amazon. It's available in softcover, ebook, in audiobook. I'm pretty sure it's available in audiobook as well. But any one of the kind of normal places that you would expect to find books like that.
All right, great. That's good to know. All right. Okay, here's a good question, including the PJR side of things. Do you have any advice, or is there any difference in the information you covered today for those who may already have an existing certification or QMS structure set up?
So that's kind of if you've got an existing QMS, are you asking the question from the perspective of how do I add ISO 27001 to it? Or asking you, you're thinking about what do I do with changes in ISO 27001 come October? It would be helpful if you could give me a bit more context to your question.
My understanding is that's the former, that they already have, say something like ISO 9001, ISO 14001 in place, and they're looking to add 27001. If that's not the case, then
Okay,
maybe they can clarify.
so let me answer that question in the hope that that is the question. And the answer is that you'd follow the same nine steps, but many of them are much, much simpler if you already have an existing QMS, because of course clauses 4 through 10 of ISO 9001 say pretty much the same thing as they do in ISO 27001, but the focus is on quality management and quality management processes rather than information security management. So typically, we find that if an organization already has 9001 or 14001, bolting 27001 onto that probably takes about half as long as it would have taken if you were starting from scratch, if you didn't have a management system in place. And we do a lot of bolt-on implementations with clients. We do quite a lot of double and treble implementations where clients do 27, 9, 14 all simultaneously as a integrated management system. And that, of course, has benefits in terms of being able to organize audits that are also integrated. But it does, it makes life a hell of a lot simpler, quicker, and easier.
Absolutely. I know from a marketing standpoint, that's one point we always try to drive home is integrating all your standards into one audit. We know one system makes everything so much easier, and then adding new things on is just, it's a snap compared to trying to dredge all this up from the beginning. All right. In that vein, I know one topic, I do webinars on everything from food safety to, ISMS, everything. How important would you say the idea of quality culture is in terms of the ISMS angle, having buy-in from everyone throughout the business?
So what we call quality culture is really important. Quality culture officially really focuses on the 9001, how do we make sure clients get quality of service? It's the same logic with information security, but it's just how do we make sure that the service is secure? How do we make sure that everything we're doing is taking forward the logic of us as a client being cyber secure? So if you recognize that most organizations, most clients want to be sure that their personal data and their corporate data is secure. It's not going to get stolen by a cyber criminal who's then going to extort them or sell it. They want to know that you as a client are secure. And so being able to put an ISO 27001 certificate on your website is a business enabler. But to do that, everybody through the organization has to be in a position where they can proactively engage with clients, proactively engage with email, make sure that incoming emails are genuine emails, they're not phishing emails, and they're really sophisticated today, phishing emails. You have to be able to talk to clients about what you do in terms of information security and data protection in a way that is clearly enabling rather than just saying, hey, you can't do all of these things because you know the law. So it's a really important part in today's world, an understanding and awareness of the information security management, the culture around information security as part of enabling a business to compete successfully. It's also fundamentally necessary to be secure because unless everybody's secure, the criminal only has to succeed once to get through your defenses. As an organization, you have to succeed 100% of the time against thousands of attacks. So everybody's got to be on their mettle.
It's yeah, and of course it's so vitally important, but at the same time, it's such a hard term to define. What is the culture? And some people take it to the nth degree, some people don't even know where to start. All right, it looks like we have one more question sitting here for us. If anyone else has any other questions, please, please type that in. We would love to have some dialogue with you about this. If you have any questions that are maybe too sensitive, too personal to your business or your personal situation, do feel free to reach out to IT governance at all the information on the screen here. If you have any questions for PJR, you know, I'm not a certification process expert myself, but I am happy to pass those questions along to the appropriate parties. You can email pjr@pjr.com, or like I said at the beginning, go to our website. There's a contact us form. We'd love to get you in touch with someone who can help you get certified. All right, but this last question I've got here is just asking for some more insight on the team aspect of the project mandate. You know, just how qualified would you say the people involved in building the project mandate have to be, Alan?
The answer is not that qualified. You need at least one person who understands what they're doing, and that's typically the project manager. Not always. Sometimes the project manager is just someone from PMO who understands how to put a project together and manage it. But you need one person who at the very least has either implemented ISO 27001 before or done a lead implementer training course. They understand how to put the projects together. For everybody else on the project team, what they need to do is understand their own bit of the business. And typically we'd encourage that to be made up with people both senior and junior, because junior people have a different perspective on what's going on than senior people do. And you really want all the perspectives. And you can do a very basic introductory training course on what ISO 27001 is about for the project team. For instance, we have a one-day foundation training course, which is designed for people on a project team. And it talks you through the elements of 27001. It talks you through the makeup of the project at a high level. It can be delivered live online, just like this webinar, to people all over the world or all over the country. It can be delivered in a classroom. It can be delivered tailored to an organization. But typically, you get the project team to attend a foundation course. They go, I kind of have a working awareness now. And then your lead implementer is able to, using tools, you know, like documentation toolkits, some other tools we'll share with you, can very quickly get on with implementing the rest of the project. Because once you understand the way to think about it and put it together, you can usually work it out for yourself. There are good books available. I've written some of them. There's good help available. But you don't need to have on your project team, you don't need to have five people who are really expert. In fact, it's probably dangerous to have five people really expert, because they'll all have a different view about what you should do. You just have one person who owns it and who really knows how they're going to go about doing it and who knows how to get help when they need it. I hope that is a kind of helpful answer to that question.
Definitely. I think that was very thorough. All right. We've got a question here regarding the updated standard. This person says that their company will be doing a 27001 surveillance audit in January 2023. Will they be required to use the updated standard for that surveillance audit?
I would be shocked. So ISO 27001 2022 is due for publication probably around the middle of October of 2022. Normally, there is about a six-month period during which the accreditation bodies work out the nature of the new scheme, the scheme that will certify to the new version of the standard, and they make sure that all the certification bodies have got auditors who've been trained to the new standard. As it happens, the new standard is not that different from the old standard. There are quite a lot of changes in the controls, but not in clauses 4 through 10. So I think it's unlikely that there will be a accredited certification scheme available much before February or March 2023. You're then going to have probably 18 months to make a transition. It might be 2 years, it might be slightly less. It's not set in stone, but certification bodies within the rules set by their accreditation bodies will then say to their clients, you've got typically 18 months to transition from ISO 27001 2013 to ISO 27001 2022. And that means you can manage your transition, make the changes to your documentation, to your controls at leisure, if you like, through next year in preparation for your next audit, whether it's a surveillance audit or a new audit, probably in something like 2024. That's
All
kind
right.
of on how things look.
Yeah, I would definitely advise the one who asked that, reach out to your certification body, your point of contact, your scheduler, if you're with PJR, if you have concerns about that. But yes, as Alan said, generally there is a pretty healthy transition period, especially for major change, like major updates and revisions, like going from, tw I mean, 2013 to 2022. That's a big gap to close there. All right. I didn't see any other questions come in. If, like I said before, if anyone has other questions, please feel free to send them in to PJR or over to IT Governance, and I'm sure we can get you some answers. Alan, I want to thank you again so much for bringing your expertise, and you've literally written the books on this. So we do appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we do hope to see everybody on the part two, which will be, I believe, it's September 7th. Let me double check that really quick. Yes, yeah, September 7th, it's a Wednesday. That will be at the same time that this webinar was scheduled, so 11 Eastern time. And I hope to see everybody there. And like I said at the beginning as well, if you enjoyed this presentation, feel free to share the link with your colleagues and get them on board with 27001 as well. Alan, any parting words of wisdom before we wrap things up?
I would just simply say, if you haven't started ISO 27001, get started today. Cyber criminals are not hanging around waiting for people to get secure. Cyber criminals love weaknesses, and unquestionably, the number of organizations who are turning away from suppliers who've been breached goes up every day. So if you haven't started, do get started. If you've started and we can help, give us a shout. The more organizations that get secure, the more secure the world will be. Thank you all for being.
That's a perfect way to wrap things up, Alan. Thank you so much. And thank you again to all of our attendees. We'll hopefully see you on part two. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.